Awakening with Brahma Kumaris. Namaskar. Welcome to Awakening with Brahma Kumaris. You're watching Ila Within. Sister Shivani is with us. Welcome, sister.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti, sister, and welcome to Healer Within.
Thank you.
I'm so happy with the subject. Healer Within. And from healing ourselves, not only the healer is healing, but it is realizing what we were in Satyog.
That is healing. See why this knowledge is important for complete healing. Now what we are doing is not just healing on a superficial level or from the top layer, but healing the complete, the subconscious layer, the deepest sanskars, the deepest belief systems. Because when I, the soul, know about my journey, you know, it's like a child who used to come first in class. He was brilliant, used to top the class, was good at everything that he did. 1 year, 2 years, fifth standard, sixth standard, eighth standard, every year he came first in class.
And finally?
No, and suddenly then his performance started declining.
Hmm.
And he started coming 10th, 15th, suddenly started doing even worse than that. Now what's the role of the parent?
The role to show him?
Yes. But to show him and to remind him of his potential.
Yeah, show him his performance earlier.
Absolutely.
And tell him and remind him that you are so powerful. I mean, this you can come first in class.
Absolutely. So now when that child is reminded of his potential,
hmm.
not told that you can do this, but told that you were this. This was you. This was your potential. You've just forgotten about it. You're not paying attention. So you've declined. And the minute you start again, this is where your potential is. So knowing the journey of the soul becomes very, very important now. That divine soul, perfect soul, harmony, purity, this was natural and natural here on this very planet, in this very world. We say, how can it be possible in this world? But what is the world? The world is what we created to be. How we will be, so will be the world. Collective consciousness of the number of souls in the world will create the world. So we had created the beautiful world. We gradually declined. We reached a stage where it has gone to chaos. And today we will take it back to the ordered stage. We will create that beautiful world again.
But to do this, we need someone like a parent to come and tell me and show me the earlier marks in the reports and my strength and my power.
Absolutely.
And capability.
And that is what is God's role. That is why when God descends, this is the three aspects of knowledge that He gives us. First, you're a soul and your qualities. Second, about Him.
Because you're a soul.
And your original qualities.
And original
qualities.
And then about Himself.
About Himself. Because unless we know Him and connect to Him, we will not be able to get back to those original qualities. So second, about Him. And third, about our journey. And it's like you started from here. You were completely perfect. You were healthy. Then gradually you didn't take care of your health.
Before we start for a journey, we take our car to the petrol station, fill it up, and then take the address in the route, take the map, and start from there.
Absolutely.
Simple.
Right. But this
so we fill up the
journey.
Strength and the diesel and the fuel.
Right.
Or the petrol from God. Take the power.
Right.
Take the know-how and the knowledge in the route.
Absolutely.
And then start traveling.
And started traveling. Now it's been a long, 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 long journey. The fuel is also reaching its finishing point, and we've somewhere lost the way. We're not very sure whether it's on the right way. We're confused. We're asking people, where should I go, this way or that way? What should I do? I'm all confused. And fuel is anywhere reaching its finishing point.
So why are we not going to the petrol bunk?
We don't even remember now about the fuel. We don't even remember anything. We've all just got lost into the woods, absolutely. We're totally scattered. And we're ready to hold on to anybody who will be able to take us out from here. But now we need that power. We need that power who will again give us that complete know-how.
Hmm.
Who will again help us to fuel the tank, give me the roadmap again, give me the direction again, and send me on the journey all over again.
So how do we do that now? Where is God? We need to meet Him.
Absolutely. And this, all this knowledge that we've been sharing, always on awakening, and particularly this particular series, this complete knowledge is God's knowledge being given to us, which is the route map and the know-how of now the journey again. The journey to heal ourselves and create that new world. And everybody is talking about creating the new world. How? But who will create that new world? The new world will start with a new consciousness. And that new consciousness will be created when we understand who's God, what's his role, what's religion role, what did religion come to teach me? Today, are we living our religion? Every religion today, and we saw in Dwapar Yuga, in Copper Age, how every prophet came and gave such a beautiful message. And they lived that message. And when people around them, the souls around them, must have started taking that message, they also must have changed their lives.
Sister, I just wanted to ask you one thing. We should not worry what religion I follow, because what you have been speaking to me from the beginning of the episode number one till now, you telling me to be a nice person and know my strength and values and know myself, who am I? So whether I follow Hinduism, Muslim, Sikh, anything, or Christianity, how does it matter? That's a separate issue, no?
No, it's not a separate issue, no?
Yes, because my religion does not stop me from being nice.
My religion was teaching me only to be nice.
So
what is religion preaching? What is religion teaching? Today we restricted religion only more to rituals, more to practices, more to structures, systems, timing, diets, this. What is every religion teaching? Every religion is only teaching me to get back to my pure, beautiful
being. That's
what
I'm telling you. Whether I'm of any religion, irrespective of that, I can still follow the teachings of God, take the power from Him and know myself and
carry on. Absolutely. Very well understanding that when I'm doing that, I'm practicing my religion. I'm practicing what my religion, what the prophet and the founder of that religion had come to teach. This is very important. When we start practicing this knowledge and spirituality, sometimes people feel, oh, am I moving away from my religion? Is this, I'm going to a separate, you know, a separate cult, a separate organization?
I've heard people saying, oh, I don't believe in any religion. I don't believe in God. I just believe in the spiritualism.
Right.
Even people misunderstand. No?
Right. So we need to understand every prophet, every religion, everyone was teaching us to get connected back to that beautiful core being. And over a period of, and they were not even establishing religions at that time. They were only teaching the way of living. They were only teaching that, values, the way of living, and love, compassion, forgiveness, harmony. Every religion was teaching that. Even today, every religion has that, the message. But just because the message was given by different prophets, in a slightly different way, we started making that as separate compartments.
We do that in school.
Yeah.
He's from the other school. I'm from this school. I belong to a different school. Even in games, when we play inter-school and interstate,
right.
or international.
True. But now
game.
We need to understand, all of us had only one aim. We were not playing against each other. We were playing the same game. Each, we were one team actually. See, in Dwapar Yuga, we were all one team. It was not like this, different teams. We were one team, we were one family, unity. And every prophet came and said, unity. Unity of brotherhood. It is so much later now in the Iron Age and Kali Yuga that those families started getting disintegrated. In Iron Age...
And further within those families.
Absolutely.
Further.
Yes, different. Within the religion also. At least in the Copper Age it must have been Hindu, Islam, Buddhism, Christianity. But by the time we came to the Iron Age or much later in the Iron Age, within one religion also...
So many branches.
And those branches seem to appear as different institutions altogether. Why was all this happening? The message is getting lost. The more we will become body conscious, the more we will start disuniting. We will diversify from each other, even though we were speaking the same thing. More interpretations, more perceptions, moving away from the core And so thinking that each one is different. Suppose within one religion, any one religion, taught by one prophet, whatever teachings were given, the scriptures were written, the holy books were written. So we had the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then we had the Holy Quran, then we had the Bible, we had Guru Granth Sahib, we have all these. Then what happened later on, different people gave their interpretations, their explanations actually. They were also teaching, they were giving explanations. Now if two people gave slightly different
ways. But they put their own understanding there also, no? That how I understand what he said.
Which is okay.
Yeah,
which
but
is okay.
It can be different also.
But
like someone who just read the other day, he said, even my guru said that Nanak Dukhiya Sab Sansar. I said, excuse me, you can't do that. What will your children understand by that? You mean to say the whole world is unhappy?
In pain.
No. Read the second line first. So Sukhya. Your naam liya tha. Whoever takes the name of God.
God, yeah.
You'll be unhappy if you're not connected to Him.
Absolutely.
That's what He means.
Right.
So the person who writes also misunderstands, no?
True.
So that is what I meant. The person's mood, his status, his mind, his feelings,
his understanding.
Circumstances, and whatever.
Yes.
His limitations.
Right.
And he writes about it. His adaptation, Gita written by so-and-so, Gita understood by so-and-so, one Gita and 1,000 people different writing.
True. See, even if everyone who was giving us an interpretation were profound, were philosophers, very, very wise, very, very intelligent, but any two people, take the two most profound and most intelligent people in the world, any two people will read the same paragraph. But when they come to explain it, they will explain it in two different ways.
Yeah.
And they are both speaking the truth of what they have read in that one paragraph. But
read and understood.
Understood. But when they explain it, obviously the explanation will be a little different. Now what did...
Not only his, the people who are listening to him, ten of us, will understand in different ways.
So it's acceptable that the one who explains... will obviously explain differently the same paragraph. The one who understands will understand it differently. Then 10 people who will understand it will go on explaining it to another 10 each. By the time it reaches from one generation to the next, will there not be a little difference?
Yes, that is why so many people I meet, they told me, why don't you read the original Ramayana? Why don't you read the original? Why don't you read Ashtavakra Gita? Why don't you read the Gita written by so-and-so? These are all the original ones, so-and-so. So there's a lot of change, you know.
Now, what happened with the change? It was not that anything was happening wrong. What was happening was only a little different perception, little interpretation. But what was happening was, because we were becoming more and more body conscious, instead of taking the teaching, it's like one and two people teach me one paragraph. Okay, two people are reading out one paragraph and explaining it. I, the listener, and let's say 10 more listeners, need to take the paragraph. Need to take what you're reading out or explaining and take the message from that. What did I say? I prefer this one. Somebody said, no, but I prefer this one. And then we suddenly got divided into two groups. Had we said, I'm taking the teaching, there would have been no difference because both were teaching the same
thing.
In different styles. Style will be different. Any number of people teach, the style will be different. So then somebody said, I prefer this one.
But
I
here this one. They are in the awe of the teacher.
Of the teacher.
And not the subject.
But not only that, they are in awe of the teacher. They are dividing amongst themselves on the basis of their teacher. Now it becomes, I am your follower. I am his follower. So we suddenly became two sects. We were supposed to follow the message. Had we been following the message, we would have all been together. Because the message would have been the same.
Same.
Whether it's Abraham, whether it's Jesus Christ, whether it's Gautam Buddha, did they ever speak about disunity and division? Everyone spoke love, compassion, unity. So all of us who were listening to their message, had we just picked up those words, love, compassion, unity, we would have been like this.
But since I am just your follower and he is somebody
else's follower.
I don't like him.
Yes.
I'm not
you and
him,
me are different now.
Yeah, but you belong to some other caste.
Some other caste.
You belong to other sect. I will love and like and be friends with the person who follows this, the one I follow.
Then little differences were there in what people said, so we started dividing. Then within each religion, because different people gave different explanations, we further had subdivisions. The aim and the intention of the religion was to unite. And actually today what has happened in the name of religion? Today in the name of religion most of us are divided. The first thing is you're here, I'm here, is different. Now each one said what we are saying is right. Each religion says what we are saying
is
right.
But here religion is saying the same thing. Religion is not dividing.
Absolutely.
We are dividing. So we cannot say that each religion is saying different.
Each religion said the same thing. Each religion said this message is right.
Maybe because in different languages.
But the message was right. The message was right.
Is right also.
Yes. But the ones who were finally taking it forward. And then as we reached Kali Yuga and even towards the end of Kali Yuga, also what happens is that the ones who are giving the message are also declining in their purity. No? All the souls at the beginning of Copper Age, the prophets who gave the message are pure souls. Elevated. Their intention is not that people should get attached to them. Their intention is not of power. They are not demanding respect. They came only to give. Only to give. They didn't want anything in return. But 1,000 years later, 2,000 years later, today, towards the end of Kali Yuga, even if we are giving the similar message or speaking from the same scripture, but the soul is towards the end of Kali Yuga. So how would the soul be? The soul is obviously a little depleted. And so the souls who are giving the message also are in body consciousness. So even their intention will have a little mixed charity. It will have little weakness compared to the ones who gave the message in Dwapar Yuga. There is so much of a difference. So the message givers also and the listeners of the message also, there is a shift because of purity, and that's why the religion is not being able to do what religion was meant to do. Religion was meant to create peace. Today we could be moving away and even talking about war in the name of religion. So we're doing something which is completely opposite of what my religion is teaching. Completely opposite. Who would have ever thought at the beginning of Dwapar Yuga that these prophets and what they are giving today, 2,000 years later, may become the cause of people fighting with each other. Who would have ever thought of it? Because everything moving towards a decline. Similarly, all our scriptures that were written at that time, the ones who were giving it and the ones who were taking it were very, very clear that this is meant to give a message.
Hmm.
This is meant to give a message. So you have Sri Ram as the ideal son.
Hmm.
You have Lakshman as the ideal brother. What were we giving? We were showing them this is how an ideal brother is.
Hmm.
You have Sita as the ideal wife, perfect wife. Now, we were supposed to study it, take those values and become those in our life. The ideal husband, the ideal wife, the ideal brother. Today, what are we doing with it? We're only listening to it. We call it a katha.
Movie.
Yeah, today it's serious.
Time pass, entertainment. Yeah.
So, no, even if we do it for studying, but what are we doing? We read it, listen to it.
And take it as somebody else's story.
We take it as somebody else's story. And we say, oh, at that time,
this was right.
This was okay.
Today's time is different.
Today's times have changed. But most important is, what has happened is, we have started thinking now in Iron Age, not in the beginning of Copper Age, but in Kali Yuga, in Iron Age, we have started thinking, this is Sri Ram's truth. This is not Sri Ram's truth. Sri Ram's truth was that he was living in a time when it was a perfect world. Sri Ram did not fight Ravan. Sri Ram was a divine soul. He was not having war with anybody or fighting anybody. Sri Ram did not doubt his wife. This was not happening. This is what we have to understand. Today what we have done when we're talking about deities, they are perfect divine souls. And what will we say about them today? We say they have fought wars, they have killed people, they have doubted their wife, they have had many, many wives. Today if somebody has even two wives, it's considered as wrong. But for our deities, who were supposed to be perfect and ideal, we say somebody had so many wives. This was all symbolic. It was symbolic to give a message. But the actual deity, when they were there, they did not do any of these things which we are seeing and reading today to give a message. We are supposed to separate the character in the scripture from the actual life of the character. You know, it's like you do a movie. Okay? Even if you play yourself in a movie, but the movie story will be different, right? So even if you're playing yourself, a film actor, and the movie's talking about you, but now finally to create a movie and to give a message, certain parts of the story will be, see, so many times
now, we want to make it interesting
because it has to serve its purpose. So many times now we have movies or serials in which there are real living characters. But what does the disclaimer say at the beginning? This is not a real life story of any living character.
Does not depict
now or today. This is what the disclaimer should have been at the beginning. This is the disclaimer. This is not the real life adaptation of any living character today or before. This disclaimer is very important. If I remove the disclaimer and I see the movie, and whatever shown about you in the movie, I will think this is the truth about you. This is not the truth. Your truth is something completely different. When I take your character and make a movie, I take some parts of the truth. Some parts are the truth about your life, and some parts are created to give the complete message and the complete story. That is what has happened in the scriptures. Some parts are the truth of the deities. They are absolutely the truth, perfect, pure. But some parts have been created, because otherwise how will we give the message? So we have to understand that this is a story taking the deity. This is not the truth about the deity. Because otherwise every scripture is talking about deities at war with devils. Every scripture.
Forget the such old ones. I mean, you're talking about some 2,000 years back. Just see what's happening with Akbar and Birbal. Everybody tries to bring one new story, says one day Akbar did this and Birbal answered like this.
How many stories we have today? We have all comics, storybooks, everything. Every story, what is it trying to give? It's trying to teach something.
Yeah, for example, whatever happens, happens for the
good.
Good.
It's a beneficial scene in the drama.
Yeah,
right?
when Akbar and Birbal had gone to the jungle and he was caught by somebody.
Right,
as if a king will be caught and, you know, be hanged.
Very good. Now see, as if a king will be caught and be hanged. Realistic?
It's
very
not
realistic,
possible, no?
Very practical. But if somebody would have written one page and said, every scene is beneficial, whatever happens with you, please trust that there is some good in it. We would have read it, found it very profound and said, okay, fine. How much ever I understood with it.
To believe this, we need a character like Akbar.
Right. And most important.
Okay, Akbar did this. Okay, the Birbal was smart, very, very, very witty and intelligent and sharp. Okay, so they added these two characters and said his finger was cut. So when they saw that Akbar's finger was cut, so they did not kill him and did not, what do you call in English, I don't know, they did not use him as a bali.
Right.
As
sacrifice.
A sacrifice.
True.
As if they're going to sacrifice the head of a king.
King. But important is, you and me read this story how many years back?
Childhood.
Today we still remember the story.
Yes.
But had we read it as just four lines of profound wisdom, that every scene in the drama is accurate and have faith, whatever's happening for the good, we wouldn't have even remembered it till the next day. We wouldn't have remembered it even till the next day.
You have a point.
But because it was written as a story, we remember it even now after so many years. That's why it's written as stories.
See, that is why the things which I was told, ki one day Lord Krishna was sitting there and he did this. One day he was going out with them and he saw something and he said, why don't you see the goodness in this? Why don't you see the positive side of this.
Right.
And unless they use some word of a big person, like for example in a movie, Superman, to show whose son he is, where does he come from, they had to take one of the topmost best actors, pay him through the nose, to show him big. He doesn't come out, you know, with not anybody's son.
Average. Yes, absolutely.
So to make him, like for example, somebody wanted me to do only one scene's role, two scenes. I said, this is too small for me. He said, but the actor is such a big superstar. There is a scene where you slap him. And nobody else can slap because we need that power and the seniority of the senior actor.
Which means you justify that role.
Yeah.
This is so important.
So they made me put all those beard and all that and made me look a grandfather. And now it is authentic.
Right. So you, because of the image that people have in the mind about you, the audience, because of the image that they have in their mind about you, so if you play that role, I will be able to connect with that role and I will be able to believe that character which you will play because of my previous image about you. When I read a story about Akbar and Birbal, it automatically fits into place because I know Birbal is witty. But the story is not about Akbar and Birbal. That particular story which happened did not happen in reality.
This is a message.
This is a message using two characters who lived. Characters are true. Characters are true. Quality of the characters are true. Akbar had a very witty Birbal in his court. Birbal was very loyal to Akbar. This is the truth. Akbar and Birbal are the truth. But the stories today of Akbar and Birbal are not the truth. This, if we can understand, we'll understand everything that we study today. And we'll then study it with understanding. We just need to study it with understanding because then we will take it in the right perspective. Today what happens, many people say...
My belief, my faith,
not only
your
that,
belief, your
they
faith.
They will say, oh, the deities also used to get angry.
Yeah.
Even the deities had so many wives. Even the deities used to have war. So then what is wrong if we do it? Because we are taking the message in the wrong way. Because we don't know the complete truth. And it is from here that we got the belief system God gets angry. Because in some scriptures it was shown that somebody made a mistake and somebody just cursed him like that. And the one cursing was a deity who today I take to be symbol of God. And that's how it reached. And because we don't know the truth, then we take it in its incomplete way and we don't understand it properly. And then we're not able to take the right message from it.
There's so many such stories, sister, but I think the time is not permitting.
Absolutely.
So we shall continue this in the next episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti.
Ye mantra.